Live from the Shangri-La of South County.
Coming to you from Rust and Tustin and the State of Disrepair.
In the morning, Nathan Penetration.
In the morning, Brian Black.
It's our 200th episode.
Oh, wow.
Holy shit.
Where does the time go?
Man, we started in 2012.
5 years. That's crazy.
I have a beer. It's one of your favorites. The problem is it might be light struck, so we'll find out the hard way. Francis Connor Weiss beer.
That's great beer. Well, I feel bad now because all I have is some fucking Chardonnay to drink tonight. I'm out of beer right now. 200th episode, I should have beer.
It's all right. This episode is a celebration of the future. So, and a little bit of the past too. I've got a little highlight reel queued up. It's not really queued. It's a manual process. Let's see if this is light struck.
It's brown bottle, so I doubt it.
Mm. This is a delicious product.
Yeah, that's one of the best wheat beers.
It's got like a subtle banana floral flavor.
Yeah, it's pretty strong too compared to like Weinstephaner. I still like Weinstephaner the best. That's arguably I like their regular lager the best, but most people agree that that's their best beer, and it's the Hefeweizen is their best beer, and it's the best beer that they offer in their entire line. I think the Beer Advocate rating is like it's both 100s.
Yeah, I think they're one of the highest rated. I find the Rate Beer website, which I generally link to, has less controversial ratings for certain beers. Like, I think, I don't remember which beer I was looking up. It might have been Heineken. They gave it like a 3. For no good reason.
Yeah. Well, Heineken's not.
I don't remember if it was Heineken.
I mean, it's a decent beer.
All right, I'm looking for a harp sound effect right now.
Okay, Weinstephaner is a 98 for the Beer Advocate score, and it's 100 for the bros.
Excuse the sound effect that's about to pop up. I'm waiting. Okay. This one, hopefully this YouTube video will be the correct harp sound effect. Because I want to travel back in time. And we're going to observe ourselves, Nate. We're going to talk about what we thought at the time and where things ended up and some of the recurring themes and characters that have come on the show.
All right.
It's kind of like I watched Seinfeld today, and it was like one of the season finale episodes where they bring in all the old cast.
Okay.
Sort of like that.
All right.
But it's way shorter. It's like a 60-second thing. So let's go back in time. Back in time when Bitcoin was only $200. And we made fun of the gold iPhone. Now let's hope my sound effect works.
Gold iPhone or gold Apple Watch?
Oh, the rose gold. Not rose gold. The gold colored iPhone. We were talking about a rumor of like a gold aluminum. Anyway. Wow, it feels like Bill and Ted's Most Excellent Adventure. All right, I'm going to open with some of the chaos of our earlier episodes. Actually, it's a recurring theme. We like to talk about drugs.
Yeah, oh, no. That's for ADHD, so it's amphetamine. Even better.
And that's back in the day when I used to use clips from the show. And then I'd put them in as like a narrative hook in the beginning, and I'd use the drums as the stinger for the joke, because it was generally a joke. Like, back when Richard was on, I'd use a lot of his content.
Right.
Fine-ass black woman. Oh, God. Turn your pantsuits, dude.
Oh, my God.
Classic.
Fine-ass black woman.
American Psycho and Patrick Bateman has definitely been a recurring theme.
Yeah. Start every Monday with a full body circuit.
Do it in the combines. Patrick Bateman voice.
The combines our best muscle blasting moves into a workout sure to intimidate the misanthropic villains in your life.
Voice assistants have been a constant plague of the show. It's infrequent, so I guess it's not constant. That was stupid, but as documented by the historical record of the Frontier podcast at bringyourwallet.com.
The beam farming microphones are listening to you poop.
Yeah. You sound like your fiber intake is low. May I suggest a fiber supplement?
Thank you, Alexa.
Yeah. The alcohol, the attorney who goes into detail.
Wrong clip.
Was rescued from that.
We'll just let it play.
Arrested on poppers. He just goes. Windows 10.
Yes, Windows 10. I upgraded. Hey Cortana, Chimay Ale.
Chimay Blue.
No, pull up Shemale. No, I don't know why I didn't say anything related to Hey Cortana. Oh my god.
Oh man, I had tears in my eyes from listening to the 134 stingers that I put at the beginning of every one of these shows.
Some of those are pretty good.
Oh yeah,
that's really funny. Good stuff.
And I think maybe I'll bring that back if I'm feeling ambitious. I'll have to get a faster, like a different editor, because my workflow before was, we have to come back. We have to go back to the current time. We've gone back in time too long.
Yeah.
All right. Much better.
Yeah.
America is greater. It feels greater. Can you feel it?
It does. I feel it every day. I feel it when I wake up. I breathe it in my nostrils. Breathe that American air.
Oh, and it's almost July 4th.
We're
almost
not Euro,
Independence Day.
We're not Europores.
Europores?
You haven't heard of that?
No.
It's a term I actually learned recently.
Let's consult the book of knowledge. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a derogatory term for Europeans. Europore is a sometimes Europore is a derogatory word for European. It's usually directed towards arrogant, sheepish Western Europeans, and is typically used by Americans.
I see Euro pooping. What is Euro pooping?
Yeah.
If you aren't European,
Canadians are like Europores.
So if you're from Russia, you're a poopin'.
Not to offend any Canadians. The French ones I'm talking about. What?
It's
say?
A stupid Urban Dictionary. Don't look that up. 2003. Alright, let's talk about the future. The current time and the future. Murder Miners on the Steam Summer Sale.
Oh, yeah.
That was a fun game. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. It was 99 cents for 4 copies.
It's practically free.
It's high value.
The price was so low, I tried to order it on another account so I can distribute it to other people. It's so low that BitPay, for paying with Bitcoin, wouldn't accept it. And then the fuckers at Coinbase took $2 on top of the $1 in fees.
That's so stupid.
Maybe I'm doing the math wrong.
Why don't you just pay for it with your debit?
I didn't know that there would be a fee from Coinbase. Why would there be?
Yeah, that's so dumb.
There's the exchange fee for the Bitcoin payment, but why would they charge a fee on outgoing Bitcoin? Unless, I don't know. They're fucking you. You have to spend $100 to $1,000 through Coinbase in order to only have a 3% fee. You can't do small sums, which is too bad, because I kind of thought the whole point of Bitcoin was you could have micropayments because there was practically no fee, and you had 8 decimal points worth of fractional payments to mess with. Well, good thing there's Ethereum and Litecoin, because those transactions go by a lot faster. It took over 30 minutes for Steam to even see my payment. The payment timer on the screen expired, and then I lost the Steam checkout page. So I thought my money just went to a Bitcoin address and it was not redeemable because it was just gone. But luckily, after another 15 minutes past the timer expiring, they unlocked in my account. So they kept track of it, which is good. But that gave me no way to see what the status was. But a credit card is instant. So Bitcoin's got issues.
Coinbase has issues too.
Yeah, but what I'm describing is a protocol problem. The fee thing with the extra $2 on top of 99 cents, that's a Coinbase problem.
Yeah.
They're just fucking you.
Yeah, well, fuck them.
So, the other day you were talking about your Apple Watch coming, like, popping free of the magnetic charger, and it got me thinking, are you using an Apple manufactured band? The rubber ones? Elastomer?
Yes and no.
What?
I'm using the watch bands. I have the rubber one that came with it that I use, but then I sometimes switch it out for a mesh aluminum one that isn't Apple brand.
So you're saying the Apple one, when you lay it flat, which, did we ever talk about how you got a new one and they swapped it out for a Series 1?
Yeah,
for free.
I don't think we talked about that. Oh no, I didn't.
Yeah, let's start there.
Well, yeah. So my Apple Watch, the battery. It had the battery issue where it was expanding and it forces the display off. And anyway, I, through an annoying process, had to get it sent in to get repairs through Apple. And I had problems with the return shipping where I had to like reschedule it with FedEx. And then I was just lucky one day it just came to my house at 3 p.m. when I just happened to be home. Like I took like a late lunch break from work and I was able to sign off for it. And anyway, when I was setting the watch up, I noticed the back of it said it was a Series 1. So, and it was mint condition, like it was brand new. So it looked like they just replaced the whole, like replaced the watch entirely from what I had before. And I actually made a post about it on the MacRumors forums, and other people commented and they said that they had a similar situation. They think it's because the battery issue for the original first gen Apple Watch was so widespread that it basically affected every single device, and the people that ordered the gold
you have to describe what the battery issue was.
I thought I did at the beginning. It's expanding and causing the display to pop open. So that issue is so widespread between all the first gen Apple Watches that they have to give priority to the gold and stainless steel Apple Watches because they can't replace the casing on those. They have to just basically fix what's already in those. Whereas the aluminum ones, they're basically identical to the first gen, which is basically it's an update of the first gen Apple Watch, what I had, which is technically like generation 0. And then they had the gen 1s that came out like a year later, which it looks identical. It's just got a dual core processor in it. Instead, so they replaced my Apple Watch with one of those because, according to the MacRumors forums, they were so tapped out on their inventory for repairing the gold and stainless steel watches that that they just started issuing Gen 1 replacements to the people with the aluminum casing. So they spend all of their time actually fixing the gold and silver one, or gold and stainless steel ones, and then they just are now reissuing Gen 1s to the people that have the first gen Apple Watch.
You got lucky.
Yeah.
That would suck to buy a 24 karat gold Apple Watch and the battery expands and basically explodes the screen off. And they replace it with what parts they have left.
Yeah.
Man, that's a short-lived product.
That's, yeah, you're going to have to melt that thing down to get your money back out of it. Because when it battery dies again on it or whatever, there's not going to be any replacement parts for it.
But because it's a rare Apple product, it may actually sell for a little bit more than they paid for it.
Have you seen anyone that has the ceramic Apple Watches?
I have. I saw a waitress at a Korean barbecue restaurant.
And you, but you haven't, like, I've gone in the Apple store. I don't even see them at the Apple store.
Yeah, the additions they keep in the back. Kind of hidden, I think.
It's strange.
Well, it's, that one is their top dollar one, but it's not that much more top dollar than their silver, the steel one.
Right. Well, the ceramic's weaker. That'll break.
It has different characteristics. As far as I know, it's really difficult to scratch. It could potentially be more likely to shatter, but it's not that often that you somehow lose your watch and it slips off your wrist. I don't know. I don't know what conditions it would take to shatter an Apple Watch, but it's a good material because you can make ceramic almost any way you want. You can make it completely reject heat so that you can have a hot device that doesn't feel hot if you could vent the heat. You can make a transparent, strong, nearly unscratchable ceramic. I don't know if you could use it for glass, like as a screen, but maybe you could see the guts of it. You could put metal in it, like have a there's a metallurgy term that I'm not remembering. Anyway, you could have like aluminum in it. It has a lot of potential. I want to find what ceramic suppliers Apple would use or what the process is and figure out where they get those resources because I want to invest in those. Someday you may see a MacBook Pro with that. A MacBook Pro that doesn't get hot and doesn't melt your balls off.
Oh, man. The ceramic Apple Watch is way more than the stainless steel one.
$1,200?
It's $1,300 for the 42 millimeter.
Wasn't the black DLC steel watch, wasn't that like $1,100 or $1,000?
No, the stainless steel one Vince has, the stainless steel. That one's, I think, like $600 or $599 or something.
Yeah, but I'm talking about with the Link bracelet, which is like $200.
Oh, yeah, but that's an accessory. So, yeah, the Link bracelet's ridiculous. It's like $450 for that.
Yeah. So, top dollar.
Outrageous.
It is pricey.
For it's fucking sexy. Steel links that you can... there's no watch alone. Not even a Rolex band, I think, costs that much. It's the... unless it's gold, obviously. But, I mean, like a, if you had like a steel Rolex or something like that, that's...
even watch nerds money. Have drooled over the way... they've done all their different parts. Like the way the watch bands pop in and out, they're like, why haven't they done this before? The way the clasps come together on the leather one with the little magnet that snaps on.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that stuff they do well. But I still don't think that the value, what you're getting in that price is worth what you're paying. It's
a total status thing. Because you can. That's the interesting thing about the Apple Watch. It's very much a fashion piece. You can pay $10,000 for a 24 karat gold device or $250, well, I guess $250 now, and you get the same device. So instead of limiting how much money they can make off the device.
But what makes, I mean, okay, for example, let's just talk about the ceramic watch. What in the price, what process along the way and the value of the material is justified in the price of this thing at $1,300?
I'm just going to say nothing just to satisfy you because it doesn't matter.
Ceramic costs about fashion. Nothing to make. It's just glass.
I don't know. I don't know a thing about it.
Well,
I
it's
want
not,
to know because I want to invest in it.
It's comes from glass. It's but
it's composited out of stuff. I don't know how it works.
Yeah, but it breaks like glass. It shatters like glass.
It can. You can make it have whatever characteristics you want. The space shuttle is made of these ceramic tiles.
I think that's for heat resistance. Yeah. Well, I know ceramic's great for heat resistance. That's why they use it for brakes on sports cars.
You can build it to have whatever characteristics you want. You're never going to get one that flexes, as far as I know.
It's as far as I know, it's brittle. It's strong, but its tensile strength isn't very good. What's the other one? It's tensile and
I don't know.
One's for like holding weight and bending, and then the other's for like breaking away at it, chipping away at it. It's two different kinds.
No clue. Rock something hardness.
Yeah, but there's an actual word for it, like tensile. I just can't remember. Anyway, but yeah. Pleasantly surprised that I got the Series 1 because now I got a dual core upgrade and everything is faster on it.
I bet. I think it has twice the RAM too.
It's noticeably faster.
I think that your Apple Watch is as fast or faster. It certainly has the same amount of RAM or more than my Pentium 3 from 99 or 98.
That's crazy.
And you could buy a shitty car with that thing back in the day. Were pricey. And now it's $250 on your wrist. And you got yours at a discount, so I think you paid $250 before the watch was $250.
Yeah, it was $350 and I got it for $250.
Yeah. You were very lucky on many accounts.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about unlucky people like Intel. They say Kaby Lake. I don't like saying it that way, but I'm going to. Kaby Lake and Haswell? Whatever the last two ones were. Those chipsets have broken hyperthreading.
Skylake, Kaby Lake.
Okay, those two.
No, Kaby. I think Kaby Lake's the latest one. Skylake was one before.
That's all I know.
So KB and then the two generations before would have been a Haswell. So you're saying KB and Haswell or KB and Skylake?
Skylake. Okay. The recent ones. Their hyperthreading is busted. They screwed it up and pushed out chips with bad logic in them. And somehow they claim that the manufacturer of your device, whether it's Apple or Dell, is going to be able to push out a firmware update that can fix it.
How's that?
I don't know. Apparently, the microcode...
I know chips work that way.
Well, on a RISC platform, I guess it doesn't. But on a CISC platform, the Intel x86 architecture, the complex instruction set is so complicated, they need a computer for your computer. So you can update the software, which the computer then computes. Something along those lines. The RISC platform is so basic that it's baked into the chip. So if there's a flaw, you're fucked.
So did they fix
right
it?
Around it.
Did Intel fix it with a new...
They haven't released it yet.
i9 chips,
We'll see. I would hope. Are those shipping yet?
No, it's the... What is it?
Well, it doesn't matter when it's going to ship, but are you going to build a system with it? Or are you going to go with AMD?
I don't know. I don't know yet. Because I'm not upgrading for a little while.
Seems like there's a big media hit.
Coffee Lake is the new one, sorry.
Coffee?
coffee lake. Yeah.
Ooh, a lake of coffee.
Yep.
Oh, Intel's Optane was the thing you wanted to talk about.
Oh yeah. So they're SSDs. They're used for caching of regular hard disks. And the ones I've seen in stores, they sell in either 16 or 32 gigabyte configurations. And they're usually in the M2 SATA format. M2 or M SATA, one or the other.
Really?
And yeah.
You're not talking about the PCI Express thing? That's supposed to be super fast?
Those are for bigger storage sizes, I think. They're like, I think those are for RAID arrays and stuff like that. These are basic. The ones I've seen in stores are like, if you just want to speed up your one hard drive you got.
What kind of performance boost does it give you?
I'm not sure. I've heard they're pretty good, though. And I'd be curious to try one. I was trying to kind of pitch them at my work to see if we can build a system for a client and see if it would be more price sufficient, you know. I know you won't get I know you won't get the same exact performance that you would with like an M2 SATA drive, but maybe with this you could get equivalent to maybe an early SSD's performance.
Does it work like the Fusion drive where it intelligently picks channel, the most Nate, used blocks to
intel.com.
And caches them on the SSD?
I believe so.
Okay. Apparently, when Apple's going to replace the HFS file system with their APFS file system, they're going to replace the way the Fusion drive works, and with APFS, it won't be caching things that won't benefit from the speed boost. So it's not going to cache like a compressed video that only streams to your computer. Let's say it's a 50 gig Blu-ray rip. It's not going to benefit from being on your SSD. It can play back. It's measly 20 megabytes a second or megabits a second compression stream. It can play that fine from an a hard drive, but it'll take your system stuff to make your system boot faster and put that on the flash drive, and then still give you the benefit, as far as I know, of having one large storage volume that includes the SSD space. I'm not sure how they're going to do Time Machine backups yet. That won't happen until High Sierra. What do you think about that name?
High Sierra. I think it was lazy. I don't know. I thought that the Mac announcement was kind of lackluster this year. The new features aren't very like revolutionary.
They are actually replacing huge underpinnings.
Yeah, the file system. I get all that, but I'm saying what you actually see when you're working with the OS. What primarily. You see?
Yeah.
Not much.
It's a release for. It's huge technically, and they announced it at the perfect place, WWDC, because all of those people are going to find out that all of their software is broken and it won't work on High Sierra because of the way the way APFS works, or because it doesn't support some, I don't know, the way characters are interpreted or something with a new file system. It's going to break a lot of things. So having an operating system that's relatively stable and very polished with some of the invisible underpinnings replaced and gutted, it's going to be good. But otherwise, it has near feature parity with iOS. It's really just iOS slowly becoming macOS.
Yeah, I think that's the whole reason for that push to begin with.
And it makes sense.
The timing is right for it with iOS and macOS in their current states.
Yeah, that iPad update is going to be huge. The iPad version of iOS.
Mm-hmm.
It basically will have the control center, or what do they call it? Controls.
I think that's it. Control center.
It'll basically have the control center of the one in the Mac with the control center. I know they called it something else, though. There's Launchpad, and then there's Control something. Maybe it is Control Center. Things are merging. Things are changing. And in 2012, when we started the show, something like a watch with a pretty good computer in it that could actually stream video from your iPhone was pretty unimaginable. And someday we'll have augmented reality lenses or some kind of projector.
Yeah, like the Microsoft HoloLens thing. But yeah, this Intel Optane thing, I want to give this a shot sometime and observe the performance difference. I think they were reasonably priced. I think the 16 gig was like $30 and then the 32 was like $50.
But aren't you booting off of SSDs?
Yeah, but this is more for like, if you want to increase the speed of your RAID array, you know, on a server. I mean, I would first want to see what its impact would be on a single disk.
Well, it's not going to work then on your Linux servers. It's going to require some stupid software.
I want to use it on Linux servers. I've got some spin-up drive still in my main desktop machine.
That'll
with games
work, then.
Running on them. I've got a 10,000 RPM drive.
I thought that was part of Windows Vista. You pop in a flash drive or some stupid bullshit like that, and it's going to go a whole whopping 30 megabytes a second off your flash drive.
That's for... No,
that was
that's
back in the
for,
day of USB
I think that's
2.
For actual. I think that's for actual RAM. It's like when you run out of RAM...
It wasn't
RAM,
for RAM, it was for caching.
I thought it was if it would... It, when you never swapped a disk, it would just go right to that instead. And you'd use it kind of distributed with the RAM you're already using.
Yeah, maybe. You're probably right. I don't really remember.
Because all of those machines, I think the whole reason that was even conceived was because people were going from Windows XP to Windows Vista, and the graphics require, or the everything, the RAM requirements... Just to run Vista, the hard drive stored, the storage space, like everything increased drastically because of all that shit that they put over the top of the UI with the arrow and all that. So I think that's why they offered that as a feature, so that people didn't have to just go out and add more RAM to their machine to be able to run it.
Strange.
I mean, that's speculation, but that would be a total Microsoft thing to do.
That's not any faster, though. That's
it's still going to be faster than if
than
you're
a 50 megabyte a second hard drive.
If you're on a 5400 RPM, yeah.
I don't remember what it did. It was supposed to do something silly like that, like expand the buffer.
I think there's latency, though. That's the problem with hard drives.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
That's the problem. It's probably because it needs to be instant, and at least with the flash memory, if it's, I don't know.
Short-sighted, gimmicky bullshit.
Yeah.
That's what it was. We didn't get a chance to talk about the Steam Summer Sale.
Oh, yeah. Well, you brought up Murder Miners earlier.
Yeah.
Which I got banned from that server.
I don't know why. The game for 60 seconds and you already got banned.
Maybe they didn't like my name. I don't know.
I think you team killed.
Maybe accidentally, but it's like, why did I get banned for that? That's stupid.
That game is really cool. It's Minecraft with guns.
With Halo. There's vehicles and stuff you can drive around.
Vehicles. And they have a zombie survival mode, which was pretty fun. I don't know about the other modes. The other modes, I'm sure, are fun. I tried to hide as the last man standing in the zombie mode. So I, because it's like Minecraft, I dug into the earth and I tried to go really deep. then I hid in there and I waited for them to come up toward me. And then I heard something getting louder and louder, and I looked up, and a horde of zombies were burning through the earth with acid until they all fell into the chamber with me. And I shot until I emptied my mag, and I forgot to throw my grenades, and they ate me alive. All of that with Minecraft graphics. That's a fun game, and it's practically free on Steam.
Yeah, it's a dollar. I've been playing another fun game. It's literally a fucking pirate naval warfare simulator.
Black Wave.
Black Wake.
Oh, Black Wake?
Yeah, Black Wake.
I wrote the wrong thing down. Okay.
And, yeah, you gotta load powder and cannonballs, and there's a whole process you gotta go through, and then you're dependent on your captain knowing his shit so he steers the ship the right direction so that you can get in the line of sight with the cannons to shoot enemy ships. I was in a battle last night with 60 people. There was four ships, four crews, two on the British side, two on the pirate side, and it was just like this all-out naval battle. And one ship got like rammed into and wrecked like right off the bat, like they got boarded and taken over. And so we were down like 1-2, and it was just like our captain was good because he was like kind of keeping them in the middle and like circling them, and we were just like nonstop, like loading cannons, firing, reloading cannons, firing, like shooting their sails to take out their sails so they couldn't move. And I don't remember if we ended up winning. I think we lost the end still, but it was good though. Like when you have like everybody on their shit, you got a guy pumping the water, you got people repairing, people on the cannons, and then the captain knows what he's doing. It's pretty rewarding to play.
It's a really good team game.
Yeah.
It sounds like a good team building exercise.
Yeah, it's the physics are really good. The weather effects are cool.
The physics are ridiculous. People get shot through the wall of like the hull of the ship and get obliterated into giblets or hammered with a slug, and then their body gets pushed into the wall. Or
they get blown up with a cannonball like in the hull of the ship. This blasts through the wall and kills them.
Yeah, you're just left with a bunch of holes in the wood, and does water pour in? How do you sink the ship?
Water pours in, you got to repair those holes.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and then you have to have someone on the pump while they're repairing. And then you also got to attack with ships while you're sinking too. So it's like there's so much stuff going on. And then if there's someone hooking you, like, or trying to slam into you, you can kill, like, you can pretty much kill everybody on the deck if a ship slams into you and T-bones you, because like its bow,
that's cool.
Its bow will cross over and just like knock everyone off the boat. And then you could take out enemy sails. I think I mentioned that already.
What's the most ridiculous thing you've seen, whether it's in a video or in a game? Oh, you can get drunk while your ship sinks.
Yeah, you drink grog because it heals you.
Of course.
So you can drink you have two options. You can drink grog or tea.
Of course it heals you.
Yeah. It's good stuff. The guns are awful. The muskets are fucking, it's like 30 second reload time between shots. It's so frustrating. And then you have a pistol. It takes about 10 seconds between shots. Swords, it's kind of buggy, the sword play. It's still an alpha, so it's rough around the edges in some respects, but it's pretty fun though. They added a treasure mode too, where they have islands and you can jump off the ship and grab the treasure and bring it back to your ships, and it's like kind of like a capture the flag type thing.
I don't remember what I was gonna say. There's a game, it was a similar idea, where Black Wake, the pirate game, the whole thing takes place within like a 40 or 50 foot ship. So your whole FPS experience is all on this deck, or you fall in the ocean and die, or you board another ship.
And this, oh, is it the airship game?
Well, no. The game I was going to bring up was a game that went the wrong direction, and it was a shark survival game. You're stuck in the ocean, and you're supposed to survive and like collect stuff as it comes by to try and live. And the shark just keeps circling you. It's supposed to be a attention-based game, and it would have been a really cool VR like survival type game because you don't have to move. You're just stuck on a boat. You look over the edge. Really freaky, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, the fucking neckbeard developers decided, oh yeah, and you can find a desert island, get off the boat, and go craft shit and survive in a hut. Mm. What's the point of the game anymore? Just do one thing well. They never finished.
Well, that's because that game, though, is not competitive. I think that's the problem. Whereas this game, adding extra modes that are competitive are cool.
Yeah, that makes sense in a competitive game because it does one thing well. Pirates.
Yeah, well, naval warfare in general. It's really, really well. And when I said the physics were good earlier, I was referring to like the water and like the way the boat handles in the water and the way it sinks.
Not the way the ragdolls flop everywhere and fling into the air 300 feet.
Yeah, you get blown up by a cannonball and the guy goes flying across the map.
I think that's cool. I think physics bugs like that are charming. Like they make the game perfect. That's how
it's funny.
Old school Counter-Strike was like that. Back in the days of like Beta 5, you can look up YouTube videos. The players used to walk forward when they ran in reverse. The reload sound effects were directly copied and pasted out of Rainbow Six. The old one.
Counter-Strike, they would keep running forward while they were backing up, right?
Yeah, and there was no reload animation. So you just hear the sound effects from Rainbow Six of somebody reloading, and they would stand perfectly still. And if there was anything that you could see, you could stand on it. So if you walked into a room and there was a light switch on the wall, stand on the fucking light switch.
That's great. What do they call it? Hit detection or collision detection?
There were no invisible walls back then. And then eventually they put in all those invisible walls, but they made mistakes. Like on D-Dust, or was it Dust 2? You could go into the skybox and run around on top of the map and kill everybody.
Oh, yeah. I remember you crouch down, you have people like stack on top of each other.
Yeah.
And you could jump through.
It was like this invisible brick you had to jump over. You'd get on the top of it, and then you're up there, and you can never come down.
Right. This is the good old days.
Yeah. Back in the days of server-side mods, and what was the most amount of players I've seen in Tribes? I think you could do 100 players, or 128 or something, in Tribes 1. And then 64 on Tribes 2. And it sounds like, with this pirate game and Battlefield 4, we're getting back to the days of 50 to 60 player games.
Yeah.
There was like a 10-year dry spell. 2007 to like 2016.
Because the engines couldn't scale as well. They were like really good looking engines that started coming out, and they couldn't scale to that many players and have decent performance on consoles.
On consoles. So
yeah.
You're saying consoles are the reason gaming went to shit.
Yes. Pretty much.
That's probably a recurring theme too. I didn't have any stingers for that one though.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I bought a PS4 because there's tailored experiences for the console from developers that only develop for that one piece of hardware. So I bought it to enjoy those and to have a Blu-ray player. Because I haven't had one.
But can you play your games from 1999?
No, it doesn't do anything backwards compatible. It's bullshit.
I can play Half-Life 1 with some Source Engine graphics today on an operating system that didn't exist at the time that it came out. I like to brag about Valve because you give them so much shit for good reason. They haven't released anything. Still waiting on Half-Life 3. Drink. And someday it'll come out and there won't be a console version because they can't play shit from 1998. PC Master Race.
Yep. You bought Day of Infamy, right?
I did.
So the Steam sale made you cave?
Yes. And I was thinking about how BattleEye started, like how it runs. And I was like, well, maybe if I install it, then I can see how it's installing. So I watched it during the whole download slash install process, and it used up all four cores to do it. And then, oh man. Sorry, I just got an email. It was distracting. Anyway, I disabled BattleEye. I can't remember what I was going to say. BattleEye is gone, and I can't join normal servers, so I have to join your Day of Infamy server and own noobs through there.
It's all good. That way, now you, I don't know about Roadhouse, but you and I can just idle in here all day, and then hopefully people will join.
Yeah. That's how we got the Tugger hosting server started. You idle in there for a little bit. If you have between 2 and 6 people idling or messing around, then it will eventually build up during the peak hours. And once you get it over, at least for Insurgency, once you get it over 14, the thing just runs itself. It takes off from there. And then you get it completely maxed out, and then people keep... When you have, in this case, you're going to have BattleEye in order for it to have people auto-queue in. When people start to automatically queue into that server because it's full, because they selected for servers that are really packed, like the way we have it in Insurgency, which currently doesn't use BattleEye on anything but Windows, you can just kick people. The moment they look like they're bad, kind of like you got kicked from Murder Miners, you just kick the guy. You see him fucking around, kick him. It gets replaced by like 2 other people. It's great. Yeah. After about 30 minutes of that, people either shape up or they're kicked. And you end up with a server of just the best players in Insurgency.
The only problem with that, though, is that if the game already has a low population, then you're kind of alienating what little people there is, you know?
Yeah, you can't do that until the server's full.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you do it when the server is not populated, people are like, what? And then they leave. When the server is full, everybody's having fun except for the guy that just got kicked.
Right.
And I think you could do 40 players on Day of Infamy. You would know. It's 40 players, isn't it?
I think so. You might be able to do 64. Or no, you know what? It's 48. 48 is the max.
Okay. iPhone 8? You were going to say something?
What was I going to say about it?
Did it have to do with the rumored new charger?
No. Fuck, what was I going to say about the iPhone 8?
USB Type-C?
Mm-mm.
The Widow's Peak that it's rumored to have?
No,
was it on Mac rumors?
You know that Apple changed all their AppleCare plans, right?
I don't know that. Are you talking about AppleCare Plus?
You can only get AppleCare Plus on MacBooks. And you get the coverage, the accidental damage coverage with it. Whereas you didn't before with regular AppleCare. Because I paid $350 for AppleCare on my MacBook from 2013, and it did not include the damage coverage.
I did notice that. Looking around, I saw something about AppleCare Plus and accidental damage, and I noticed that it was like $380 instead of $350. It's like $379 or something.
Yeah, and it's $269 for the MacBook 13-inch, the Pro. So the $269, but that's given the overall price. I mean, it's a $2,000 machine for the 13-inch. So if you get 2 more years of coverage plus accidental damage protection for $269, that's a pretty good deal. I felt like the 350 yeah. price point was a little high for the MacBook and for my MacBook Pro, the 15, considering it didn't include the accidental damage.
I'm probably the reason for that. I've had the probably $1,500 SSD replaced. I've had the screen replaced. When they opened it up, I'm pretty sure they swapped out the battery because somehow my battery magically started at 90 cycles. So either that or it looped back. I have hard drives that are so old, the counter for the power on hours has looped back from like 59,000 hours to 100. And I know they're like 7-year-old drives. Probably more than that. Probably more like 9 or 10. They've been running the whole time.
Never ending.
I think that's all that I've had replaced on my MacBook Pro. But those are two very expensive components.
I can't believe I forgot what I was going to ask about the iPhone 8.
Camera.
No.
Touch ID.
No.
Charging.
There's something different. It's annoying.
Oh, some type of wearable? Maybe the Beats butt hook?
No.
Or easy reachability?
I don't know.
It vibrates. Do you think it's going to have 100 or phone calls?
Do you think it's going to have 120 hertz display?
Is that possible with the rumored OLED display?
Well, if supposedly it is,
I hope
the small size is now, it's only one size. It's a 5.5-inch, but it's short and fat.
It's a bigger screen.
It's a chode.
It just got rid of all the excess around the edge, shrunk it around the screen basically.
So
and gave it a widow's peak.
Is it a 6-inch display?
I don't know. I think it's just one big screen.
Yeah.
With the cameras parted a little bit more, probably for better depth perception. At least that's based on all the rumors. You never know.
We'll have to see.
And that's the higher priced one. Like an iPad, like an iPhone Pro versus the iPhone. They've kind of created a second higher priced, higher status tier of iPhone versus the normal one. Kind of like the Apple Watch made of 24 karat gold, the edition. Or like the iPad Pro.
Right. But the iPad Pro was created because they needed to have it to be a better production tool with the pencil and all that shit. So
yeah, it's just marketing towards
what work is going to get done better on an iPhone 8 or the new iPhone versus an iPhone 7.
I don't know. It depends on how they position it. Could be an iPhone edition. The positioning's arbitrary. It just depends on what they think will get the point across. But before, they were limiting themselves to only $1,000 from the customer. Now, they've raised the roof. They've brought it to another level. Now,
which is insane.
It's insane.
How much money do they have in the bank?
It's smart.
Their operating costs, you know, with all this renewable shit that they're preaching about, that's supposed to reduce their operating costs too. So where is all this money going? Is it just getting funneled into their investors? Or I know they keep a lot of it in the bank, but it's like at a certain point, it's in their best interest to appeal to a wider demographic instead of forcing yourself into a smaller market segment for this ultra high-end And given all of their stuff has kind of always been high end, but I mean, with the prices, especially with the new MacBook Pros, I mean, you're looking at almost $4,000 for a laptop. It's
the pro.
And
it's the price point it's always been.
Well, and it's outdated hardware to a certain extent. So it's...
No, it's not.
It's DDR3 memory limited to 16 gigs.
That's what it took.
Old hardware.
That's not old.
DDR3 has been around for almost a decade.
Yeah. Well, that's what it takes to meet whatever requirements they have. If they could have done it with DDR4, then they would have. Maybe the DDR4 that's low power is high latency. Maybe it gives you lower performance.
I'm not criticizing their inability to do it with DDR4. I'm criticizing the price that they're charging for what you're getting in specs. And I know that their software works better with the hardware, but it would work even better with better hardware. So
what's better than the latest chipset?
As far as like processing power, I'm not saying that, but I think that they should have at least given you the option. Like, another problem I have with Apple is that when you buy their ready to order stuff from stores, they only do it in like two trims, everything. It's one storage size or two storage sizes, and they have different graphics options, and they usually have different RAM amounts. And it's like, for example, if you wanted a 13-inch MacBook Pro with 512 gig hard drive and 16 gigs of RAM, you have to custom order that from Apple. The only 13-inch MacBook Pro that you can buy in the store is 8 gigs of RAM. That's fucking stupid. So you're forced to buy a 15-inch MacBook Pro. If you're just going to walk into a store one day and you're like, you know what, I'm going to buy a MacBook Pro today, and you were fixated on the 13-inch, but then you found out you can only get it in an 8 gig RAM configuration, does that mean that person is going to be then compelled to spend the extra $1,000 to get the 15-inch? Like, that's the problem with Apple, is like, they don't have an easy way for the customer to get exactly what they want when they want it, as far as like their Mac line goes. It's kind of like these pre-made configurations that you can only get. And then if you want anything different, you have to order it through Apple, and you have to wait like a week or two to get it.
Yeah. There's way more configuration possibilities with the Mac versus the phone, which they only vary based on the,
storage, really.
Yeah.
That's the only advertised difference. They actually increased the RAM. Yeah. Fucking, you got 3 gigs of RAM in your 7 Plus.
Really?
Yeah, so you got 50% more RAM than I do.
Probably because it needs it.
To drive that display, yeah. But they got away with 1 gig on the 6, the 6 Plus.
Barely. Not really. Aren't there a bunch of people complaining about it?
It's so slow now, I bet.
I think there's a bunch of people complaining.
iPhone 6 was the worst fucking phone.
The 7 Plus also has portrait mode, so the camera app probably uses more RAM to compute all that. I would imagine it would use a lot, since it's computing that depth map in real time and then rendering it. Is that RAM shared by the GPU? It must be. Because they never discuss it.
On which machine?
The A series platform from Apple.
I think if it's integrated graphics, yes. If it's discrete, I think it has its own separate VRAM.
But nobody ever discloses the VRAM on an iPhone or an iPad. So their chips must be sharing with the main system memory.
On the iPhone, yeah. But on the Macs, it's different.
Yeah, but they're not using ARM chips, the A-series chips.
When you say A-series, I thought you meant A9, like A-series. A10. Oh, okay, never mind. I'm thinking, when you said A series, I'm thinking like model numbers, like A1286, A12. You know how Apple does their like their Mac. I think that's
the models.
I don't know if they're all A because that stands for Apple, but I'm used to identifying those numbers on MacBooks for looking up parts and stuff like that. I see what you're saying now, though. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's all shared memory on the ARM stuff for the iPhone and the iPad.
Yeah, it must be. All right. On the 200th episode, how would you like to go out?
What do you have? Do gunfire? Explosions?
I can get all that, yeah. I'm just pulling up shit on YouTube. I've got the sword ready. Gotta have the sword. You want an explosion?
Yeah. Machine gun fire is good too.
What's the story gonna be?
So we're fighting our way out of neo-proletariat controlled California and we're the resistance.
Oh, okay.
We're the resistance to Lord Gavin Newsom and his loyal army. The year is 2139. California has been seceded.
Oh shit, really? Grab your sword. Ah!
Got it.
All right. I think maybe I should have some planes. Plane sound effects. Well, let's just start the gunfire. Let's start the fighting now. No, no.
They're storming our headquarters.
Yes, the Shangri-La of South County, the bunker, the hilltop bunker. Why isn't my explosion playing? Come on. Fuck.
There we go. That artillery finally came in. That sounds like a 5.56.
It is. Alright, I think I should just end this here. Bringyourwallet.com/contact for feedback and suggestions. Bringyourwallet.com/donate for feedback and suggestions. Or to support the show and share the show. Where's your website? I love the gunfire in the background. You have a website set up?
No. I will. I don't know. Maybe I will eventually.
Oh, shit.
They're storming the palace. We gotta get out of here.
I need one last sound effect for the end of the show. Shit! What? There we go. Episode 200.
Yep. Here's to 100 more. We need to get to... We should end it at 333 episodes.
Ah.
And then just change the name. Then continue.
Thank you. Good night.
Sayonara.